So let's just prepare ourselves for learning a little bit of Bava Metzia, and we'll open up to Daf Hey. Let's see exactly where we got up to. Oh, Daf Hey Amid Beis. And we were talking about Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama is addressing the four Shomrim. We have four categories of Shomrim. We have the Shomer Chinam, the Shoel. We have the Nosei Sachar, who's the Shomer Sachar. And we have the Socher, he's the renter. And in all cases, according to Rami Bar Chama, thank you so much. Ooh, if you could just open it for me, because it's hard for me to find it. Okay, thank you so much.
I left the
right. Oh, this? Yeah. Okay, great. Excellent. So we'll close the door, and we're going to start our understanding of the principle called Chashra Mamona, Lo Chashra Shvasa. We're going to try to prove that even a person who is suspect of Gneva, we suspect him of Gneva, of Gzela, nevertheless we trust him in a Shvua. He would not take a Shvua Sheker. And this we're going to derive from Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says that in all the cases of Shomrim, they take the Shvua, and why is that? Because they were Modav Mikzas. In other words, if let's say the mafkid says I gave you three animals, so the shomer denies, let's say, one of them he admits, here's your animal, come and take it, it's yours. He denies the second animal and he says I never got that from you. The third animal he says, you know what, it died and it was not my fault. And in all these cases, we assume that maybe he's lying. I mean, that's why the Torah imposes a shvua. And yet, even though he's lying and he's stealing somebody's sheep or whatever the animal was, nevertheless, we trust him in a shvua. And the Gemara asks why. So the Gemara answers, Ishtamuti ka mishtamit. So let's see where we're up to in the Gemara Daf Hey Amid Beis. You'll count up from the bottom of the page, approximately, I would say, let's say 12 lines, and the first word in the line is Ishtamute. Do we have such a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we believe now is the possibility that although he denies one of the animals and he says I never got it, he's not trying to steal it, but just he needs the funds to pay for it. In his own mind he knows full well that he has to compensate the mafkin, but he doesn't have the liquid funds, so he's just dilly-dallying, you know, he's lying in order to gain some time. Savar mishkachana leganov. Maybe I'll even find the thief, v'tafisnale, and I'll be able to get back the animal and return it to its owner. Or inami, another possibility, if he lost it, mishkachana lebiagam. I'll find it somewhere out there in the in the grazing areas, umaisinale, and then I'll return it to its rightful owner. Now this Gemara is antithetical to everything that we've been saying until now. We've always assumed that if you're talking about a be'en, a physical object, and he's actually we suspect him of stealing that object, there's no such thing as ishtamutin kamishtamin. We only apply ishtamutin kamishtamin in the case of a chov, of a milveh, where we really believe the possibility of that the reason the lov is denying half of the chov is because he doesn't have the cash assets. But to go ahead and steal someone's object, that's not ishtamuti kamishtam. So let's see the Gemara now that we got up to yesterday, and how the Gemara objects to this ishtamut ekam ishtamit. Ihachi, if you can apply the principle in a pikadon of mishtamit, is hakofer pikadon, if somebody denies that he ever received an object that was, according to the claim of the plaintiff, was deposited in his possession, and then subsequently witnesses came in after the defendant denied it, and they testified that he has this object in his possession, he's posuliatus. Why should he be posuliatus? Nemo, why don't we say ishtamuti kam ishtamin? If you, even in the case of pikadon where there's a be'en, you're still willing to apply the principle of ishtamuti kam ishtamin, meaning that he doesn't really have intention to steal it, he's just hoping that with the passage of time he'll be able to return it. So if that be the case, then a kofer b'pikadon should be kashal yedus. We don't know that he's an outright ganav, even though he denied the claim, and we know he denied that he had Yenim's animal, but we know he had Yenim's animal. The Edom testified to that effect. Maybe it was stolen from him, and he doesn't want to confess about the theft. Maybe he's going to find the ganav. Savar, he thinks to himself, Ada b'chashna, until I look for the pikadon and I find it, mishkachanel, I'll finally find it, I'll track it down. I'll put up signs, wanted, dead or alive. I'll hire a private detective agency. So the Gemara says, I have an answer for this. Ki amrina nakof pikadon pasli edus, kigon di asu sahadi vashidube. We have Edom that testify that Dahi Shaita, at the moment that he was Kofar in Bezdin, Isay Lepikadon Bebese. We can testify that at that very moment he had the Pikadon stashed away in his house. Vavi Yoda, and he knows about it. He's an outright thief. It's not like a case of someone who lost the object or it was stolen from him and the Shomer says, I never got it, because he's hoping to track it down. Here, he's got the animal and he knows about it in his house. He's an outright thief. Inami, another possibility, is that Inokitle Biyode. It could be that at the very moment that he says in Bezdin Lohoyud Varmiolam, he's Kofer Akol, at that moment he has it stashed away in his pocket. Right, he has it in his tick. You know, he's holding on to a briefcase. He's got it in his briefcase. So, in other words, the Gemara is still maintaining that Choshen Amamona, Choshen Ashvuasa, and he would be possibly Eidus. But that's only in the case where he's an outright Goslin now. If, on the other hand, he's just denying a claim because he cannot return the object, he's not holding on to the object, it's been lost or stolen, but he's hoping, he's holding out for the possibility of his finding and locating and returning the object, that's a whole different story. That's called ishtamut ekam ishtamit. But we would not trust a person to take a shrua, or for that matter to testify, if we can establish beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was a gazan, he stole an object. Because the Edom say we know that he knows that the object is in his possession. That's going to be a case of migu de choshed amamona, choshed ashru asa. But now, the Gemara has vacillated back and forth about Rabbi Bar Chama in the case of Shuas HaShomrim. The Gemara in the Havamina thought that we're going to say migu de choshed amamona, lo choshed ashru asa. And that's why Rami Bar Chama could impose a shvu on him. And the Gemara finally rejects that proof, because that's a case of ishtamut ekam ishtamit. So we haven't yet proven that migudi choshed amamona choshed ami ashvuasa. It's really an open-ended question. And in fact, we're more inclined over the course of the sugya to believe that migudi the choshed amamona eino choshed ashvuasa. And when we suspect him of some sort of fabrication of the truth, we will nevertheless force him to take a shvuah, and we rely on the shvuah. The shvuah is meaningful. How do we prove such a thing? We tried to prove it from Rami Bar Chava, but we were unsuccessful because that's the case of Ishtamut Dikom Ishtamut. Ella, but perhaps we can prove it Mihad Yom Rav Huna. Rav Huna is interesting in the case of a Shomer Sachar or a Shomer Chinam, and he comes to claim that the animal dropped dead of old age, or the Malach HaMavis, you know, he died of an electric, you know, some sort of thunderstorm or lightning. You know, that's called ones. And in the case of ones, even a Shomer Sachar is potter. But now we come to the Shomer and we say we'll take a Shvuah. And the Shomer digs into his pocket and he says, take the money, I don't want to take the Shvuah. So imagine a person is willing to pay out of pocket in order to avoid a Shvuah. So in such a case, Mashbino so Shvuah she'eno b'rishuso. We're afraid that maybe he fell in love with the object, he wants it for himself, and if he doesn't take the Shvuah, we'll never really get down to Brass Tax. We won't know whether or not he is actually hiding the object. He has taken possession over the object because he has a great desire, craving to do so. And Rav Huna says, "Mashbiyin also shvur she'ena b'rishusa." We're afraid that maybe he has the animal in his rishus. He's so enamored with the object or the animal, he doesn't want to give it back, and it's in his rishus. So let him take a shvur she'ena b'rishusa. The name of Migu de Chashavona, Chashashvasa. You're suspecting him of holding on to his friend's object or his friend's animal. Then he's Chashav Amona. If he's chashed amamona, he should be chashed ashvuos. So the Gemara wants to use this statement of Rav Huna to prove that chashed amamona lo chashed ashvuos. So the Gemara rejects it. Hasam nami. There too, we have some sort of a ishtamuti kom ishtamitzvara. And what is that? He's more of Yomar, he's more a heter to himself. He convinced himself that what he's doing is right. Because Dami Koyahiv Nale, I'm going to pay the value of this object. And that's not called Gezel. Now, there's a concept called Chamson. A Chamson is someone who forces you to hand over the object because he wants it so desperately and he pays for it. He's not exactly an outright gazlan. He's like one half a notch lower than a gazlan. That's called dami koyahivnale. Now, you might ask me the following question. Well, every single gazlan might theoretically say Domi Koyahivnale, right? Let's say you have an object and I need it badly, or I love it, you know, I crave it. So I'm just going to steal it and pay you its value. And yet we said a Gazlan is certainly possibly Eidus. Why not say the Svara that every Gazlan might really have a full intention of paying for the object that he stole? But obviously that's not going to undermine the fact that he stole it. And a gazlan is possible yedus l'shvua. Here also, what does the Gemara mean when it says mora v'omar dome koyovle? He's an outright gazlan, right? Shvua shein b'shuso means that he's a gazlan. We think that maybe he's locking up the object in his backyard. You know what I mean? So I think the answer to this question is implicit in the Tosis Dibra Maskil below, which is the last Tosis. And he says the following, that maybe if the shomer is saying, I'm unwilling to take the shvuah, but I'm willing to pay for it, here's the money, then he justifies in his mind that that's not called gezel. In other words, a gazel is someone who, you know, he digs his way into your house and he steals something of yours. Such a person is not believed with a shvuah. But if it's a shomer who says, you know what, I don't want to take a shvuah, here's the money, and he actually is willing to pay for it, then we could apply the svar of morev v'yama. Morev v'yama means he justifies it in his own mind. And why? Because he's saying, dami kayahivnale, I'm giving you the malas. And he's not lying, he's giving the malas. He doesn't think that that's gzela because he's paying for it. And therefore he's not called chashad al shvua. Now again, this you wouldn't call this an outright gazlan, you'd call him a chamson. A chamson forces the owner of an object to part with the object, and he's willing to pay for it. The Gemara establishes that a chamson is possibly edus midrabanan. That's going to be a sugyan Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Hei. And chachamim paslu chamson. Why is this case not chamson? He's a shomer, he's got the object, he's lying and he's saying, you know what, I never took your object, and then he's willing to pay for it. That's a chamson. A chamson is possibly edus, at least midrabanan. That's a sugya later on in Chaf Hei. Anyone who's possibly edus is ipso facto possibly shvua. The Tosa says that chamson poslu rak chachom poslu rak chamson shu chotzu fechote pefarhesim yarabailim umishalim alka. Imagine in broad daylight he comes in and forcefully takes the object of his friend, puts the money on the table, and he doesn't want to take any shvua. That's one level of chamson. That's the most extreme, bold, what word do I want to use? Brazen, chutzpahdik chamson. In front of Amvieda, he takes the object and throws the money. Then we have a different chamson. That's our chamson in our Gemara. He's ma'alim chasenu, so he's not out there publicly, you know, with power and force taking away someone's object. He's a shomer who says nensa, and he's willing to pay and not take the shvuah. Now what happens in this case of a chamson? Again, he's not the capital ches chamson. He's not just grabbing something from someone else publicly as a brazen, bold act of chutzpah. What he's doing is, he's ma'alim chamsonuso. He conceals his chamsonus. He's a shomer that says nensa, who's willing to pay for the object. He doesn't want to take a shvuah. But we suspect that he's holding on to the object, but he's willing to pay for it. That's already a chamson shema'alim chamsonuso. And therefore, he's not possibly edus. So again, I asked you before, what would be in a case of a gazlan, an outright gazlan, and he says to himself, you know what, it's not so terrible, I'm going to pay for the object. Well, that's really the chamson with the capital ches, you know, the high-powered chamson who's posel because he's such a chutzpahdik that publicly he takes something and he wants to pay for it. But in the case of a shomer, where he's ma'alim chamsenus, as we said, miloshen halama, he conceals it, and he comes along and he says nensa, and he's willing to pay. Such a person is not possible, even midrabanan, as a chamson. Okay, let's go on. This is the sugya of gzela. Amalei Rav Achami Difti L'Ravina. You want to tell me that in the case of a shomer, if he's willing to pay, he's not an outright gazlan. Maybe he's not in violation of los sigzol because he didn't put his hand into Yenem's pocket and steal his pocketbook. That he didn't do, but he definitely violates the isur los sachmod. I mean, he has such a great desire and a craving for to own this object that he bluffs it and he says, "Oh, the animal died of a heart attack." Now, if he's in violation of los sachmod, the Gemara holds that that's called an iser mamon. The Torah passels l'shvua li'edus anyone who violates an iser mamon. And the Torah calls him Eid Hamas. And not only does that apply to the violation of Gzela, Lo Sigzel, it also applies to the violation of Lo Sachmot. So how could we trust this guy with a Shvua when we suspect that he is holding on to someone's object, he's willing to pay for it, but he violates the Isur Lava Lo Sachmot? Losach means I desired your object and I made sure to get it. Even if I paid for it, I still violate losach mode. Someone who violates losach mode is not going to be reliable for a shvur. He doesn't care about a shvur sheker. He's already violated olav shebemamon. So Gemara answers that losach mode le'inish below dummy mashmalu. When people read the pasuk lo sachmod, they come to the mistaken conclusion that you violate lo sachmod if you don't pay for the object. But if you pay for the object, then you're okay because you didn't steal it, you paid for it. The owner got his due, he got exactly the money that he deserves. So in the mind of the people, there's no violation of lo sachmod in a case where you pay him for the money. That's not true, al pi halacha. Even if you pay for it, you violate lo sachmod. But in the minds of the people, that's called mashmalahu. Le'inshi mashmalahu. If you would take an exam, take a census, most people would say, false. You do not violate lo sachmod in a case where you desired and pay for it. You see, in the minds of the people, what happens? Let's say I'll give you an example. I'm in a mall, right? Have you ever been to a mall where there's a million different shops and they're beautifully decorated and the glass and you see so many different things? So what do? You go in and you buy it. Why do you buy it? Because you want it. Now, in some cases, you buy it because on a list you need it, right? You go to a supermarket and you need eggs and you need cheese. But I'm talking about a case where you see something beautiful and you decide to go in and buy it. Do you violate los sachmod because you desired to buy it? Certainly in the mind of the people, you didn't violate los sachmod. So let's go a step further. Let's take a case of a shomer. He's holding on to some object and he falls in love with it. It's beautiful. So you know what? He decides to buy it. What do you mean buy it? He lies and he says, I never got it, or it got died of old age, and he pays for it. In his mind, he's the same as someone who goes into a store because he sees in the storefront, you know, how beautiful it is, and he has a tremendous desire to buy it, and he pays for it. He's not going to violate a law of the Torah. The answer is, he's making a big mistake. Because lo sachmod means when you desire something that's not for sale, and you go out of your way to get it, to obtain it. Like, for example, you convince him. You start saying, you know, you got to sell it to me, I'm going to pay you. And you pay him so much money until you make him an offer he can't refuse. That's lo sachmod. When your desire is for someone else's object is so intense that you do all this effort, you make a tremendous effort to try to get that object. So you're a shomer, And now what do? In order to get the object, you lie in Bezdin. You say, well, the object was, you know, died of old age, which is a whole gevlafta maisa. And you're willing to pay for it, so you're not stealing it. So there's no lo sigzol, and you're going to convince yourself this is not lo sachma. Why? Because if you pay for something, that's not lo sachma. But the truth is that even when you pay for something, you violate lo sachma.
What was the difference between paying for it and leaving the money there? Paying implies that there's a transaction, and it is for sale, and you're fulfilling the terms. But if you just leave the money there and take the cash register, well, that has money in it. But,
that would be sale. Take some animal that belongs to him.
The guy's wife, which obviously isn't for sale, but then that's...
That's violating lo sachma. So this man doesn't make that distinction. In his mind, he equates two scenarios. He thinks they're all the same. One is where I desire something that's for sale, and I go in and I buy it. And the other case is where I desire something that's yours, but it's not for sale, but I pay you the money. In both cases, he thinks he's okay. Why? What's common to both cases? He's paying the money. He doesn't violate gzela, and he doesn't violate lo sachma. So when do you violate lo sachman? I'm going to ask the guy whether there's a pasuk in Chumash, it's the last of the Aseret Nedivim. He's going to say that's a case where you desire something and you ultimately take it and you don't pay for it. Are you a gazlan? So the Torah says, you know what? Not only are you a gazlan, but the source of your gzela was chevdas alev, and you violate lo sachman. We're going to hit you with two lavin. Now the truth of the matter is that even if he's paying for the object, he does in fact violate lo sachman. Why? Because the object was not up for sale. Certainly in this case of a shomer who was called upon, you know, and somebody deposited the animal in his possession to wash it, guard it, and return it. It was not up for sale. The shomer desires out of his pure desire, he makes the decision he's going to hold on to it, and he's going to give a bluff and say it was lost, it stolen, it died. He's going to pay for it. And now, because he made this claim, and things look a little bit fishy, we're going to ask him to take a shvua. How can you trust the shvua? He violated lo sachman. We said the lo sachman is a lav shebet mamon. And the answer is he doesn't know that he violated lo sachman. He fools himself into thinking that he did not violate lo sachman. So when we talk about a psul, l'shvua l'yedus, because choshen avamona choshen ashvuasa, it means that if he realizes that he violated the Torah law, that's one thing. But if he fools himself and he convinces himself that he didn't violate the Torah law, he remains choshen l'shvua l'yedus. It's not the aver per se that passels him. It's the fact that he was deliberate, and with all the knowledge up front, he decided to violate the aver. But if he fools himself, and many people do, they think, well, if I paid you for it, there's no violation, then he's not called Choshen Ashvu. Choshen Ashvu is only a person who absolutely realizes that he is stealing from someone, or he violates any other lav shev moment like lo sach. So now, Rabosai, we turn to Daf Vav Amud Aleph. So we've rejected the proof from Rav Huna. Let's try to substitute another proof. Ella, I'm going to prove to you that someone who is suspect on mamon, stealing, he is trusted in his shvuah. When a person is a kofra kol, and we think he's lying, Rav Nachman says there are abundant instances they enacted a shvuas eses. Why? Because they think he's lying. And in order to be absolutely sure that he's not lying, let's see if he's willing to take a shvuah. So you're afraid that he owes the money and he's stealing it. And then you go ahead and trust his shvuah. If he stole it, then he's a gazlan, and a gazlan is posel shvuah. So it means, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman is of the opinion that chasher hamamon lo chasher hashvasa. He may steal something, but he would back off if you impose a shvuah. Now the problem here is that lechoro, this case is a case of a loan, is it not? Let's go back to Rav Nachman. I think it's a case of a loan. Just 1 second. Where is it? Oh boy, I'm not finding it right now because this is a bit of a challenge. Where's Rav Nachman? Oh, here's Rav Nachman. Hey, I'm an Aleph on the bottom. Tnan, modeli biyod chavi ein lecha biyod a potur. Om Rav Nachman shpino so shvu says clearly, this is a case of a loan. You borrowed a money from me, I want it back. Now, in the case of a loan, we have a principle called ishtamuti kamishtamin, which means that he's not an outright gazlan. He has full intention to pay back, and therefore we can trust him in a shvuah. But how does the Gemara use Rav Nachman's statement to prove that migu dechasher hamamon lo chasher hashvuah? So, from a case of ishtamuti kamishtamin, Tema says, close to the top line, ha hacha nami mishtamin. Yeshlom de Rav Nachman mechayv shvuah says, afilu heicha shetoveya. The Toveah points to an object and he says, that's mine. You stole it from me. Right, again, we come back to the Be'en. You know, there's a physical object, a material object, and he's basically stealing it. At least we think he might be stealing it. In this case, there's no ishtamute kamishtamet. So in effect, Rav Nachman established the Shuas Heses in Kofra Kol in one of two categories, one of two cases. Either in a case where a loan, for example, where you would apply the principle of ishtamute kamishtamet, or in a case of that chayfetz is mine, which is a be'en. And there is no horas heter. He's chashed on gzeila mamish, and yet Rav Nachman says we're going to impose a shvuah on him, which means that he's trusted with the shvuah. Let's see it again. Yeshom de Rav Nachman mechayv shvuah says afilu hecha shetovo v'omar lo chayfetz shehu biyodcha shalihu tlo shayach ishtamut. Okay. So right now, based on this Tosfos that Rav Nachman's Shvuas Heses applies even in a case of a physical object, we have now concluded so far that we have a very strong raya that chasher hamamon lo chasher hashvuah. The Sue. Now the Gemara wants to bring another support text from a Braisa. And this is the Braisa of Rabbi Chia. This is called Chenvani al Pinkaso. You remember this case where the employer, when he pays his wages, the wages of his employees, he appoints an agent, which is called a Chenvani, who's meant to divvy up the month's salary checks. The Chenvani claims that he never got that money, and the Paulin claim they never got paid. No, I'm sorry. The Chenvani claims that he paid the wages, and the Paulin deny that they ever got the wages. is Rabbi Chiya says Shneim Nishbon. It means that the Chenvani will take a Shvuah that he paid the wages, and the Paulim will take a Shvuah that they never received the wages. Vinotlim kol echad mi bala bais. Everyone is going to collect from the bala bais. So he's going to have to double, he's going to have to pay twice. Isn't that amazing that he pays twice? In other words, by definition, we know that he either owes the Chenvani, because the Chenvani paid the Paulim, or he owes the Paulim, but that means he doesn't owe anything to the Chenvani. And now we're going to say he has to pay both the Chenvani and the Paulim, which is a tie to the Sasri. It can't be. So the Gemara asks, how can you believe the Baal Bais with the Shvua? How can you believe both the Chedvani and the Pol? See, I'm not sure if the Gemara is asking about how do we believe both of them, because that can't be, I mean, they're mutually exclusive, they can't both be telling the truth. But how do we believe that any one of them, each one of them is a suspect? The answer must be that migu chashad amamono, lo chashad ashpulos. So now we have two proofs. Visu, now I'm going to give you a third proof. Hadiyom Rav Sheshes, we're talking about a Shomachinu who says that the object was stolen. Sholosh shvuos mashbiyan also. Number one, shvuos shalom bershusi, shalom pashati bo. So the theft was not my responsibility. I didn't do any pshia, I didn't do anything. Say he has three different shvuas. One is lo pashati, one is lo shalachti v'yayad, and shvuah sheinu bershusi. So let's focus for a moment on the third shvuah on this list. Basically, he's taking a shvuah that he didn't take the object for himself. We suspect that maybe he did take the object for himself. So the Gemara asks, Neima migu. So if you suspect that he took the object, then how could you trust him with the Shvua? So let's just summarize. How many proofs do we have that Migu de Choshimon lo Choshashvuasa? We have three different proofs. One proof is, one second. Amalei Rav Achavi Dizajinava Ka'ovar Allah Velo Sachmon. So again, we have Rav Nachman Shvuas Heseis. The original proof from Rav Huna the Gemara rejected, but we have Rav Nachman. And again, with Tosis's amplification, that Rav Nachman is even talking about a case of a Be'en, right, of a physical object. Then we have the Mishnah of Chenvani al Pinkaso. And once again, we see that somebody's chashed on stealing, and yet he's trusted with the Shvuah. And finally, we have Rav Sheshes, and the Shomer is taking a Shvuah Sheinu Bershusi, which means that I'm not absconding with your object. I have it locked it up somewhere in my corral. And in all these three cases, he's Choshed Amamona. Now, is there anyone who would maintain that Choshed Amamona Choshed Ashbarasa? And it's very odd, because the Gemara is going to pin this down to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan and Mishnah was the one who said that the Shvuah in our Mishnah is because we're afraid he's Tokef Taliso Shel Chavero. Is Ein Lecha Choshed Amamona Gedola Mizu? So we have to assume that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Choshed Amamona lo Choshed Ashvuasa, and Rabbi Yochanan agrees with all these proofs that we presented. So we have to find another culprit here, so to speak. Who else could there be, a candidate that might argue against Rabbi Yochanan and hold Migu de Choshed Amamona Choshed Ashvuasa? Or Abaye, it's going to be Abaye. He's going to maintain that Choshed Amamona Choshed Ashvuasa. And that's going to be in the case of Shnayim Oksa Vitalis. If we're afraid that one of them will be Tokev, okay, if the talisa shall chavero, then it would be no shvuah. Kaishino and Shema Milvi Yeshani Yeshlo Ola. All right, this is already a new sugya. So let's just summarize. Abaye, in the case of Shai Mochsu Vitalis, where Rechoshi said he was Tokev, then we shouldn't be Mashbiah him. How could the Mishnah say we Mashbiah him unless it means that he's not Choshen Ashwasa, even though he's Choshen Amamona? So the Gemara introduces a kind of what shall we call it? Horas heter or ishtamuti kavishtami type svara that sheva milvi yishani yeshlo olav. So I'll read to you the translation. He says kolomar chaviro chayv lo kesef zman rav for hu yodesh chaviro shachach mi inyan alva. So if I know that you owe me money but you've forgotten about it, you're going to deny it because you don't have any memory of it. The Alkain who took it for Talisa Shachaver. Wow. This is a person who takes the law into his own hands. I know that you owe me money. I know that you forgot that you owe me money. So you know what I do? I go into your house and I steal your talis. And I'm willing to take any shvur that you want me to because I know that you owe me money. And I know there's no way that you'll ever pay me that money because you've long forgotten about the money. So when I grab onto your talis, I'm willing to take a shvua that this talis is mine. Because in my mind, at least, I have rights to this talis as a replacement for the money that you're not going to pay me. So the Gemara thinks that you could even be a tokev as talisa shechaver and still be considered meaning we can still trust your shvuah. We're going to still apply a mishtamit, an estamutik of mishtamit thing where I justify the fact that I stole your talis because you owe me money and you're not willing to pay me the money. And there's no way you'll pay me because you don't remember. Jeff, do you want to?
No.
Oh. Okay, let's take a break now and we'll put the bar mitzvah on the side. And in Mirtz Hashem, we'll come back to the sugya one more time of Choshen HaMamona. That won't be until Wednesday.